Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Monte Carlo Fashion Limited's earnings conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mohit Dodeja from Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Good morning, everyone. I would like to welcome the management and thank them for this opportunity. We have with us today Mr. Sandeep Jain, Executive Director, Mr. Rishab Oswal, Executive Director, Mr. R.K. Sharma, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Ankur, Company Secretary. I shall now hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks. Over to you, gentlemen.
Very good morning to everyone, and thank you all for joining us today for earnings call to discuss the performance for fourth quarter and financial year 2025. Let me start by sharing some financial and operational highlights. For the fourth quarter under review, the consolidated revenue from operation was 206 crore, EBITDA was 6 crore, and EBITDA margin reported at 2.77%, while net loss stood at 10 crore for this quarter. For the financial year ending 2025, the revenue from operation was 1100 crore on a consolidated basis, representing a growth of around 4% year on year. EBITDA for the year stood at 187 crore, which grew by 31% year on year. EBITDA margins were reported at 16.95%. Net profit for the year stood at 81 crore, representing a growth of 36% year on year. The home textile segment remains a key growth driver and is expected to sustain its upward momentum. As of 31st March 2025, we have launched 12 EBOs under the Clock & Decker brand, and we intend to scale this further with stores ranging between 500 to 1000 square feet. Our youth-focused brand Rocket continues to perform well and on a steady growth path. We continue to pursue on an expansion strategy with plan to open 45 to 50 EBOs across India, including key focus area in West and South. Our online channel is also gaining traction, particularly through our own website, reflecting the growing shift towards digital shopping. To meet evolving customer expectations, we have partnered with quick commerce platforms such as Blinkit, Swiggy, enabling delivery within 30 minutes. In addition, we have collaborated with Salesforce to enhance operational efficiency and elevate customer experience and loyalty. I would also like to inform you that the Board of Directors, in its meeting held yesterday, has recommended a final dividend of 20 rupees per equity share, that is 200%, having a face value of 10 rupees each for financial year 2024-25. The final dividend will be paid upon approval by the shareholder at the incoming annual general meeting. With this, now we open the floor for question and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Jigar, an individual investor. Please go ahead. The participant seems to have disconnected. The next question is from the line of Mohit Dodeja from Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. So, two questions from my side. So, first is, while the FY25 EBITDA margin improved almost 360 bps to 16.95, Q4 EBITDA margin was just 2.77%. Could you explain the seasonal or structural reasons behind this softness? And second question is, inventory rose 16% year on year. So is proactive seasonal stocking or a reflection of slower secondary sales? Two questions from my side.
Yeah, the first question is that EBITDA improved to 360 basis points year on year, but in the fourth quarter, it has came down to 2.77%. The reason for that is that we have discounts, which occurs in this quarter, and also returns which comes into this quarter. So that normally affects the EBITDA, and that is basically a tendency which is happening from last so many years. Because third quarter basically is the heaviest quarter, and the fourth quarter we do have some returns and discounts. So that is why EBITDA goes down. So please see us as an annual basis, because there may be a quarter to quarter variation. But on an annual basis, I think it will be better to look at.
Okay, sir.
And the inventory, yes, there is a small amount of increase in the inventory, but I think that will be taken care of in the next two quarters.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one at this time. I repeat, to ask a question, please press star and one now. Next question is from the line of Viraj Parekh from Carnelian Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, yes, you are audible.
Good morning, sir. Congratulations on your results. You know, I have a few questions. Firstly, sir, I mean, just on the follow-up on the previous participant's question on the Q4 numbers, I mean, last year we understand how the March 24 quarter went, and we were taking corrective action towards it this year. But historically, I feel that Q4 as a quarter has been not a loss-making quarter for us, but it has been either no profit, no loss. There's been good amount of profitability there. How do we see, you know, that coming back in terms of, you know, company? I understand that this last quarter we do discounts, we account for returns in this quarter, but if you can help me understand the outlook for FY26 and again how we look at Q4 and the discounting and the returns policy of the company.
So first, come to the first question. This fourth quarter, as you rightly mentioned, historically we have seen that this quarter basically have more discounts than returns. That is why it affects the profitability, and we normally have loss in this quarter. But as compared to last financial year, we have cut down this loss by almost half. The reason being is that adequate provisioning has been taken in the third quarter, and we will ensure that in next year also we will take adequate provisioning to cut down the loss or to make it a zero, because it's very difficult to judge the exact discount which happens in the fourth quarter. And as far as looking ahead in the guidance for financial 26, I think we are very confident of achieving a double-digit growth going forward in next financial year. And also, we are very hopeful of improving our EBITDA from this level also. And if you see that whenever we have given guidance, we are giving a guidance close to a reality. So last year also we mentioned that we will have a flat year ahead and improvement in the margins. And if you compare the last year's closing numbers, we have basically a grown of around 4%. And also, there has been improvement in the margins around 300 basis points. So this year, again, we think of going for a double-digit growth and improvement in the margins going ahead.
But correct me if I'm wrong, but the Q4 of FY22 and Q4 of FY23, both were very profitable quarters, Q4 for us, where we were EBITDA at 14%, we had PAT of 13 20 crore. So it has not traditionally been a loss-making quarter for us. That has just been a phenomenon of the last 2 years. So, I mean, before that also it was there, but we saw things turning post-COVID for the company, where Q4 kind of became profitable and, you know, that continued. So how do we see that? Do we still see that Q4 would be at these levels of the last 2 years, or do we see the improvement of what we saw in 2022 and 2023?
Viraj, there have been three reasons for that. The first reason is that if you compare financial 22, financial 23, the returns we used to take in May and June. So at that time, returns were not taken in March. So that is why the effect of that returns were not there. And secondly, the discounting have actually increased from financial 22 to financial 24, financial 25. And this is the same, I think, in each and every brand, that now the EOSS starts very early. And the third is that more of our business is now going into SOR, so returns are more as compared to financial 22. As we are increasing our business in LFS, we are increasing in SOR, EBOs and SAS, so that also affects the profitability. But still the company is taking adequate provisioning to improve upon the fourth quarter results, and this year adequate provisioning has been taken, but still I think we have seen that the discount exceeded beyond our expectation in fourth quarter. But we will make sure that in this financial year we take adequate provisioning to make at least at a zero level for fourth quarter.
Thank you so much, sir. That answers my question. Secondly, sir, when we are looking at the guiding of, you know, margins improvement for the upcoming years, can you help me understand, is it going to be more of operating leverage being played? Because as I see this year, I mean, our average realization across our four segments have improved really well. I mean, in cotton and woolen, which are our two strong segments, despite having slight volume degrowth, our realizations have improved really well. So are we seeing that trend continuing earlier, or we'll see some cost efficiencies coming in terms of employee cost and other expenses?
Yeah, thanks for asking this question. Actually, you rightly said that the realizations have improved. It is because the price hike has been taken last year, and this year also we have taken a price hike. So luckily our brand has a pricing power, and we can pass on the prices to the consumers, even though the raw material prices have not increased much. So there's a further chance of improvement in the EBITDA and the realization level in this year also.
6% discount.
And also in this year particularly, we have seen that the discount from as compared to last year, it has come down. So that has again added into profitability, and that cost optimizations in case of expenses and also at the discount level, at the returns level, and vis-a-vis increase in the prices of the all the categories in where we are operating, so that will further improve the EBITDA level going forward.
Understood. So just a bookkeeping question. I mean, there was a very sharp increase in our other expenses this year, which was around 33% of our revenue at around 203 crore, and that has become around 38% of our revenue at 224 this year, around a 500 bits increase. Is there any one-off here, or is this the kind of number we should see going ahead?
No, let me look at it.
No,
if you rightly see that the other expenses, as far as I have with me, it was
203 crore last year, 220 crore this year, right?
Quarterly basis, me, you're asking, sir.
No, I am talking about the annual basis. In annual basis, it is, I'll just give you the figure of
190 crore versus 213 crore last year.
So there is a jump of around 16 crore.
So my question is more in terms of margin improvement here. I mean, an absolute value, I agree, it's just a, 16-17 kind of a jump, which is around 8% year-on-year increase. But if I see as a percentage of our revenue, last year it was around 33% of our revenue, this is around 38% of our revenue. So I'm just trying to understand if there's kind of any operating leverage which can come in, whether is there any one-off, or this is the level I should sustain of 8-10% increase year-on-year.
If you see, the major reason was advertisement and business promotion expenses. So the turnover has not increased, but we have seen the 10th year of increase in the advertisement and business promotion, and that is happening because the turnover is almost same. So that is the percentage wise other expenses have gone up. But as I mentioned earlier also, that we are looking forward for a 10% growth, at least a double digit growth going forward. So that will definitely, the advertisement expenses won't be going into that kind of increase as we have seen last year. So that will definitely reduce the percentage of other expenses as compared to this financial year.
Understood. And one bookkeeping question, I feel that our tax rate this year has been a little bit on the higher side, around 29% of our revenue. Is there any kind of one-off here? And there was a negative cash flow for Q4.
So Mr. R.K. Sharma is with me, so he will answer.
Actually, this year there is a change in the long-term capital gain structure. So this year deferred tax has a element has changed. The current tax is okay. So next year it will not be like this. 29% it has come because of this budget changes with respect to the long-term capital gains. So it's not, it's just a information only. It's not actual tax.
So what was your steady state tax rate applicable to the company? 25%?
Yes, 25.168.
Understood. I believe you would have, you know, concluded some of our trade shows. So if there's any kind of guidance or commentary you'd want to give, I know you've already given a kind of a double-digit growth guidance, but if there's something you would want to add on in soft comments in terms of the how the trade shows went for the upcoming year.
So Viraj, we just concluded our 7-day winter trade show, and the response was very good. We had more than 1500 retailers coming over for the trade show, and we've gotten a very good order book that gives us the confidence to give a guidance of double digit growth for the next financial year, and we're confident of achieving that. Also, what we see is now, especially winter as a category, a lot of other brands are pulling out of it. So that gives us a lot of leverage with bigger players like Reliance or a Myntra or Amazon in terms of negotiating power and asking for better margins. So we see that also playing out in the next couple of years.
Thanks, Sushant. Just a few more questions before I get in queue. We've seen that EBO network expand really well this year. I think we've added around 60-65 new stores, and I believe we've maintained the current guidance. So if you can just help me understand in terms of region-wise what went well this year versus last year, and how are we strategizing ourselves in different regions for the upcoming year, where we are, I think the guidance remains same around 50-55 stores for the next year. And also, I saw in the presentation that you all have started being aggressive on the Cloak & Decker exclusive stores of around 12. So maybe on both those lines, if you could help me understand the strategy for next year.
You rightly mentioned that last year we opened around 66 stores, including everything. So this year also we have planned to open 45 to 50 Monte Carlo stores and 10 to 15 Cloak & Decker stores. So the same, the speed will continue, I think, going forward for next 2 years. And we don't see any problems, any challenges, not to keep that, pace with the EBO's expansion plan.
So can you give me some kind of region strategy of how we are looking to, open stores across?
So last year also we have said that 80-85% would be opening in the our main regions, that is northern and eastern and central region, and the 20% balance would be opened in the western and southern region, 15-20%. And last year also the same strategy was adopted, so 15% was opened in southern and western region.
Right. Thank you so much. All the very best. I'll get back into you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Amit Kumar from Determined Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. We can hear you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. Just one question on the LFS side. You indicated that you are sort of ramping up. I remember a couple of years back, actually it was exactly on the same issue of SOR that we did not want to do too much business on that side, and we wanted to do a little bit more on the outright sale. Is there a little bit of a reversal in strategy on that side, on the LFS side?
Yeah, hi. So I would like to clarify that. So there's a lot of difference in the market situation 2 years back and today. So the last 3-4 winter seasons have not been that good. And for other brands, winter season constitutes a minority part of the revenue. So now their focus is shifting entirely from winter towards pre-winter and summer category range, where there is less risk involved. Now that leaves lesser brands in the market to service the winter wear market for players like Reliance or all of these large format stores. Saying that, we are increasing our sale and number of doors with Reliance and all the other major large format stores, but these are at a better terms than what we were doing a couple of years back. So we were not comfortable with the terms are still SOR, but in terms of our negotiating power, in terms of our power in terms of what merchandise is to be displayed in these stores, that has increased in the past couple of years, and that gives us confidence to perform better in terms of discounting and return percentage in these chains.
Oh, it's more of a tactical
It's more of a tactical approach, yes, you can say.
Understood. And, you know, just sort of a follow-up, you know, to the previous participant also. So, I mean, you know, April, May, we've already sort of seen, you know, half the summer, you know, over. So, both from the EBO side and, you know, wholesale, EB obviously have sort of, you know, fairly good data, you know, in terms of sell-throughs and, you know, any sort of color from, you know, wholesale also. I'll appreciate that. I mean, you know, how do you sort of see, because, you know, at a point in time previously, we also had a view that we also were looking to sort of balance our, you know, portfolio towards more summer and, you know, that way a more even sort of financial performance, you know, over the years, over the quarters rather. So what is sort of happening on that side? You can just give me a little bit of color, please.
Yeah, so let me give you some broader picture. So we begin this year with a muted start. So April was not that great, but May we begin very well, and we have seen some of the sales recovery which we lost in April has happened in May as far as EBO levels are concerned. So now I think going forward we see that we should have a very good year ahead because of three or four factors which are I would list out. One was basically there was a lot of you know, apprehension about among all the retailers, among all the customers also, Indo-Pak war. So fortunately, which ended sooner than expected. So that was the one reason which affected, you know, some of the sentiments. And second was there have been 3-4 months we have wasted on the trade wars which has happened across the world, and India cannot remain insulated to that. So in that case also, we just signed with FTA with the UK. And also FTA with US is also in the pipeline, and we are talking to EU also. So those things will definitely boost the export as well as boost the economy. So the third factor, I think, which will contribute but in our sport of we are talking about the growth, the third is that as already RBI has reduced the interest rate 2 months back, and in June policy it is widely expected that they will go for another 25 basis cut on the interest rate. So that will again further, you know, bring down the inflation and boost the economy. And fourth, which is a very, very, you know, a factor which is very favorable to us, is that IMD has announced that the monsoon for this year would be 105% as compared to last year. And we also have seen that in Bombay, the monsoon have come 15 days before, and in Kerala it has also arrived. So it is widely expected that the monsoon this year should be very, very good. And that would, you know, definitely help us in containing the food inflation, food security, and that would be a very big boost to rural economy. So all these factors, I think, are now running in our favor as compared to last financial year. So that gives us the confidence of maintaining a double-digit growth target, even though Rishabh has rightly said that in our trade show we got very good orders. And based on that, we have the visibility of, you know, sales coming in second quarter and third quarter and fourth quarter. So there's no reason that we should not see double-digit growth this year, and as well as improvement in the EBITDA.
Okay, sir, I understand the macro factors, and I understand the winter sales. Winter is anyway a sort of, you know, strong point, you know, for the company. And I think second quarter, third quarter is typically, you know, is winter sales on wholesale, etc., is, you know, where you end up, you know, booking. I still just wanted to understand on the summer side, right? So we were also looking to sort of, you know, balance because our, you know, the brand skew is very much towards the, you know, winters. So we were looking to sort of, you know, ramp up both the brand visibility as well as sales on the summer side, you know, also. So now what you're basically indicating is that, okay, micro factors being as it may, April, May, whichever way it will go. But, you know, how do you sort of manage that also? I mean, we understand that, you know, Monte Carlo is a very strong, you know, brand on the winter side. But how do you sort of manage that balance between, you know, winters and summers, which you were sort of aspiring to, you know, some time back?
In every year, I think...
What are the steps that the company is taking is what I'm, you know, trying to understand.
Yeah, so every year, if you see the volumes in summers are growing, even if we have this year volume with summers, that the volumes have grown, even though the winter volumes have not grown.
So summary is one area where the company is continuously growing from last 4-5 years. That is why the overall percentage of summer wear has actually increased from last 3-4 years as compared to winter wear sales. But definitely winter wear has been a very huge segment, so it might take one or two more years, you know, for a company to have around 45-55 ratio. But as of now, I think we have reached almost 30-35% of summer wear sales, including total garment sale in whole year. So that's a very good percent. If we talk about, you know, around 10 to 15 years back, it was just 4-5%. So the company is taking steps to improve its summer sales year on year, and also it has been visibility in our volumes also as far as summer sales are concerned.
Okay, appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Yuvraj Kuwar from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Hope I'm audible, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So we see tie-ups with Blinkit, Zepto and Swiggy, sir, are notable. So which geographies and product types are seeing the most traction here?
So as you know, Blinkit itself, on around 50% of its revenue comes from Delhi NCR region. So with Blinkit and Swiggy, we are piloting in the Delhi NCR or the northern part of the country as of now. So these are basically pre-winter and winter clothing, along with we are also speaking with Swiggy on an exclusive tie-up for our home furnishing category.
Okay. And so you opened about 12 EBOs for the brand Clock & Decker. So how would you, if you could share their revenue contribution and the store level economics compared with the core brands per se?
See, when we opened our Clock & Decker EBO, it's a discount, basically economy discount brand. So we targeted around 8,000 rupees per square feet sales. So I am pleased to share that we have been achieving this kind of sales in the last 1 year where we have started. It's almost 8 months and already 12 EBOs we have opened. So we are getting a sale of around 8,000 rupees per square feet per annum. So that was the initial target which we have set for ourselves. And so that is why, you know, the inquiries which are coming from the market, basically the people who have opened their earlier Clock & Decker EBOs. So some of the inquiries which we have received for this financial year was the person who is already running the C&D EBO. So it seems that we are going into the right direction, but still it is very early to say about, you know, how would be the sales in this financial year. So, but we are very positive that the initial response has been very encouraging.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Jimit from MK Global. Please go ahead. Jimit sir, your sound is a bit distant. Could you please come closer to the mic?
Hello, am I audible now?
Yeah.
So I see that the working capital days remain elevated. So what are the key initiatives that are driven to improve the cash conversion?
Can you please repeat it?
Working capital days.
So what I'm trying to see is that working capital days are elevated, right? So are there any key initiatives that are underway to improve the cash conversion?
Yes, we are working on the working capital days because we see that now we have installed, as we said in our investor presentation also, that we have installed a Salesforce software, a Tableau software. So that led us to give us the better planning as far as the retail merchandise are concerned in our EBOs, even at our other stores. So when we can plan better, definitely we can sell more on the lesser inventory in our EBOs also. So that would help us in improving the working capital days going forward.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Maitri Shah from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my questions have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Shivang from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Pattapura.
Shivang sir, your line is unmuted. You may please ask the question.
Yeah, hi. I was looking at the MBO channel and I saw that it fell 7.9% YOY. So was this driven by rationalization of some kind or demand side challenges? And if yes, how do you plan to revive or replace this channel?
Yeah, so thank you for the question. As we've been saying that MBO as a segment is on a downfall. Overall across the country, smaller MBOs are not able to compete with bigger EBOs or national chain stores in terms of offering discounts to the customer. So what we see is smaller MBOs getting shut down and bigger MBOs will convert into SIS. So if you see, even though our number of MBOs have reduced, the number of the sales which comes from MBO and SIS is at is almost flat. So that means bigger MBOs which are now converted into SIS are doing bigger, I would say higher revenue per store as compared to previous years. Also in some states like West Bengal and Northeast, we realized that we had a lot of MBOs, approximately 150, which were doing a very less amount of average per store sale. So what we've taken a call is we are going to shut down these 150 odd MBO outlets and instead open our own exclusive brand outlets to service these markets and compensate.
Oh, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I'm trying to understand, sir, our inventory cycle as well as our working capital cycle has constantly increased over the past 3 to 4 years. But sir, in the same time, we are saying that we have given higher discounts during this Q4 as well as... why is this inventory not reflecting in our balance sheet? And sir, when can we expect some hard improvements in our inventory and working capital cycle going forward?
See, I don't see a major improvement happening in the inventory cycle. As our business is, as Rishabh has rightly said, that MBOs are also converting into SIS and LFS business is also growing. So inventory will remain in the cycle. So even in COCO, we book that inventory in our books also. So in that case, we don't see a very significant improvement in the inventory level, but it will remain at this level plus minus 5%.
So to going forward, if I consider if we can stretch our debtors or if we can stretch our creditors, so what should be the working capital or cash conversion cycle we can expect on a conservative basis going forward we can maintain?
Debtors will definitely come down because we are now tying up with some distributors also to have us advance payment basically on that cycle. So debtors will be coming down. But creditors basically have come down because of MSME, where we have to, make the payments in 45 days to our creditors. So that is basically as per the government, regulations. So 45 days payment we have to make to all our, vendors. But in that case, we do get a cash discount from those vendors. So that reflects in the other income. But the creditor days have come down.
Can you quantify the amount of benefit we should get from this debtors, the tying up with distributors for our debtor days?
No. Can you please repeat it?
Sir, can you quantify the amount of debtor days, the amount by which debtor days should come down because of us tying up with distributors?
We expect 5 to 10 days of debtor days should come down going forward.
Got it. Sir, what was the price hike that we took last year and what is the price hike that we expect in the coming FY26?
So last year across all categories on average 6 to 8% price hike was taken and this year 8 to 10% price hike was taken.
So the guidance we are giving is on a very conservative basis and if because of strong monsoons, winters are good, we can expect even for the revenue growth. Is that understanding correct?
Yes, we can revise our guidance in Q2 con call. So if we see that everything is being as per the expectation, we may revise our guidance upwards in Q2 onwards.
Got it. So that was from my end. So thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one now. I repeat, participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one at this time. Next question is from the line of Jigar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving me this opportunity. My first question is, what initiatives the company is planning to undertake to improve ROE going forward? Hello?
Yes.
Am I audible, sir?
Yeah, you are audible.
What initiatives the company is planning to undertake to improve the ROE? Our ROE is, sir, around 10%. So from an individual shareholder perspective, what can we expect to improve going forward?
I think the same steps which we have taken last year of improving our margins definitely will improve our ROE also going forward in this financial year. As we talked about our improvement in EBITDA margin going forward in this year, so definitely we'll see that the ROE is going to improve this year as compared to last year.
Also, I would like to add that the company carries a big chunk of cash on its book, which was till now invested in debt mutual funds, which were leaving us a yield of 6 to 7%, which we've now started investing in higher yield debt instruments.
Okay. And sir, any revenue or growth aspirations over next 3 years? I mean, is there a vision the management is working towards in terms of top line or market expansion?
Sorry, can you please repeat your question?
Sir, any aspirational growth target or a revenue target over next 3 years?
We're just focusing on double-digit growth. We would not like to give an aspirational target and not be able to achieve it. So we are very conservative when we give our guidance. So we stick to our guidance of double-digit growth in this year.
Okay. And so my last question is, any strategic plans to expand the export business over next few years if a good India-US bilateral trade deal happens or anything like that?
So here I would like to add. So there are two parts of exports. One is producing goods for other brands and exporting it, which Monte Carlo Fashions Limited as a company does not engage in. When we say exports, what we are referring to exporting Monte Carlo branded goods to other markets and then selling it. We've been able to so for that we've already tied up with some online platforms like Amazon and sent some of our products to countries like US and Canada, where they will be sold under the Monte Carlo brand name. Also, last week we had two members from our team visiting Dubai for the IATF, which is the International Trade Fair, and we've also tied up with Style, which is from the Landmark Group in UAE, to supply around 8 to 10,000 pieces of Monte Carlo products in the UAE market. So this year we are experimenting with expanding globally overseas, and I think by the end of this financial year we'll be in a better position to give guidance to tell about our strategy for global expansion. So again, I would like to highlight that FTA, we will not be involved or interested in exporting goods, white labeled goods under other brand names. That is not what Monte Carlo is involved in.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Arjun, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm actually a little new to this company, so I was hoping to ask like a bookkeeping question, which I hope will help me understand the company a little bit better. Sir, as I see that your finance costs are at about 48 crores, yet we have largely working capital of 300 odd crores. So I wanted to understand how does the debt figure move through the year? And I mean, how high does the peak debt go that we have a high cost of borrowing? And correspondingly, the other income is at 35 crores, at our investments at year end are something like 200 odd crores. So, how does the cash balance also correspondingly move throughout the year? If you can help, throw some light on this, it will be very helpful. Thank you.
The finance cost is basically of two parts. One is the interest cost and second is the asset liability CLM, which is the rent. We have to have the
depreciation on the rent and some part goes to the finance cost. So that is the rent cost. So actual finance cost is only 34 crore rupees. And the other income is basically from government bonds, mutual funds and debt. That is again 34. So on net basis, we are not paying any money to the bank as far as finance cost is concerned.
Okay. But 35 crores and how much is your investment, sir?
Around 290 crores as of now.
Okay, so fine, fair enough. Yeah. Okay, thank you, that helps.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Viraj Parekh from Carnelian Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. So a few questions were asked about our working capital, especially our inventory days. So I believe that this year, sir, we had taken a call to, you know, decrease the kind of production we had because of kind of returns we had received last year, right? And I feel that since EBO cocoa inventory is part of the company's inventory, and that has increased by around 50% this year in terms of store count, how are we managing inventory at the cocoa level in terms of, you know, how many days of inventory are we giving them? So I'm just trying to understand more on the strategy part of inventory management at the cocoa level. I'm assuming that is what is majorly driving the spike in our inventory days. Is that correct?
See, if I clearly understood your questions, you are talking about the how we are managing inventory at the cocoa level. So basically, you know, when we supply the inventory to cocoa level, it is on season based. Like the summer inventory, which we ship it to like February, March. So we conclude it in EOSS in July and August. So by I think 15th to 20th August, most of the summer merchandise has been sold off and some of it comes back to us. So then we supply the winter merchandise. And again that cycle follows in March 15th and some of it comes back. So the inventory stays there for 4 to 5 months every season. So that is being counted in the books at that point of time.
So, sir, second question is, despite having some kind of a reduced production for this year, given the inventory last year, shouldn't our inventory been better managed this year? Then we could look at that the sales haven't been good at a company level in terms of cocoa if the inventory is spiked up, despite production being low.
As Rishabhji has rightly mentioned about the trade show, so there are two things in it. So one is that, you know, when we hold a trade show, so accordingly we receive the order for production and we produce the goods. And secondly, it is up to us how much goods we want to supply. So sometimes the order received from the trade is, you know, higher, but we normally supply to at a lower side, seeing the last sale through at the secondary level, at the EBOs and also at the SAS level. And then there are returns which we receive at the end of the EOSS. So those are also clubbed. So if we club the returns as well as the new orders, so accordingly, as far as today is concerned, we have to produce a little larger than last year to fulfill the demand from the market. So inventory, as far as whatever we have and whatever we are producing, it will take care of total sales which is happening in this year and will take care of the inventory also.
So do we, like, this year our inventory was 503 crore and last year was 435 crore. Do we have a breakup of how much of cocoa finished good inventory is in this number?
Yeah, that we can mail it to you. I will ask Mr. R.K. Sharma to have a specific query from you and he can mail it to you the specific requirements.
Yeah. Secondly, sir, I mean, a previous participant asked on ROE in terms of, you know, how we can improve it. I would suggest that using our cash to, you know, grow the business rather than investing it for, you know, yields would be more prudent for our growth prospects. So any thoughts you have of how we are going to deploy our 250 plus crore cash reserves?
So there are some plans which have been discussed in the board meeting, but I might not be able to disclose at this point of time, but maybe we come out with some of the points in next phone call.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much. We'll wait for that.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mohit Dodeja from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi. Thanks for taking my question. So, first is, could you share your targeted store additions across formats for FY26 and whether you're seeing higher potential in tier 2, tier 3 towns or metros? And second is, what was the SSG for quarter 4 FY25 across key formats and how do you see it trending it in that point?
The opening of stores would be spread across tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, tier 4 and tier 5 stores. So we have marked out the areas where we see there is a lot of potential. So but that is in all the areas. It's not restricted to tier 3 or tier 4. But as far as SSG is concerned, so last year we had seen a decline of around 4% in SSG. Same store growth.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. I repeat, to ask a question, please press star and one now. As there are no further, we have a question from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity once again. So do we have a breakup of how much of the inventory would be on our books for more than a year or more than 6 months and how much would be from the current season?
I think we can mail it to you.
Okay, sir. Okay, that would be very
helpful.
Yeah. So on the margin front, so can we expect because of the operating leverage and price hikes to move to our historical 20% margin in FY26?
I'm confident that we'll be touching 20 above 20% margin going forward in this 20% going forward, including other income.
And sir, excluding other income, can we achieve that number?
Then those should receive around 200 basis points.
Okay, sir. That is very helpful. So, thank you so much and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you everyone for participating in this earning call and we hope that we have been able to answer all the questions. But still, if you have any query which has not been answered or any query which you want to mail it to us, please reach us at investor@montecarlocorporate.com or our IR managers, Valerum Advisors. Thank you very much.
On behalf of MK Global Financial Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.